Senator Dick Durbin from Washington, D.C. on the other line. Morning, Senator. How are you, sir?
I'm great, Tom. How are you doing?
Good. Busy day yesterday and a busier day today. What do you expect to hear from James Comey, and what should we be listening for?
Well, he released a statement. It was incredible. I didn't think he would go into such detail. I expected him to kind of duck and run and say, you know, not much I can talk about here. He was very specific. I mean, quotes the President of the United States in two or three meetings in the White House and, you know, puts quotation marks around the statements. We know that under the FBI rules of evidence when it comes to criminal cases, that contemporaneous notes taken by an FBI agent that he will swear to are admissible into evidence. So Comey's a smart man. He was a former prosecutor for many years. He's laid out this case in very specific terms of where I believe this president stepped over the line.
Today, what are we going to be listening for?
Lots of questions that get into detail about the sequence of events and pressure that might have been on him from the White House. Questions about where this Russian investigation has gone, where it's going. I'll tell you a bottom line here, and I hope that maybe your listeners, whatever their political bent, will hear me out on this. Bob Mueller, who's been chosen as the special counsel in this case, is a person I've known for over 15 years. He was head of the FBI for 10 years, 12, come to think of it, and I've worked with him over a period of time. Here's a man who was a Marine Corps combat veteran decorated in Vietnam, a Republican by his own profession of his political partisanship, a federal district court judge, a former prosecutor, head of the FBI, who has been chosen to look at the evidence, interview the witnesses, and decide if there was any violation of the law here, whether the involvement of the Russians, the involvement of the Trump campaign, and all of the above. I trust this man. I don't know what he's going to say at the end of the day, but he is a man who is skillful, he's principled, and he'll put his country first, as he has done over and over again. So he is going to be the bottom line in this whole investigation.
One of the other items, this was, of course, one of the major items that was going on in D.C., but yesterday you were questioning the education secretary. I mean, when you think about Southern Illinois and what SIU contributes to the economy, the current state situation, and the proposed cuts on the federal level, you were specifically asking the secretary yesterday about those cuts.
Absolutely, and it gets down, coincidentally, the same day I had Secretary of HUD, Ben Carson, before us, and went into lengthy questioning on the situation in Carroll, which is just horrible, the housing situation. So it was Southern Illinois Day for me yesterday on Capitol Hill. But what I asked Secretary DeVos, the Department of Education, really gets to the heart of the problem we face with student loan debt. It is now greater than credit card debt in this country. It is a hardship. There are 42 million Americans who have student loan debt, $1.3 trillion. The new Trump budget is going to increase the interest rates on student loans that need to be repaid, which means more debt for students in the future. It is going to freeze the Pell Grants, which means students who receive grants for education will see the cost of education going up, but the Pell Grant not going up, so they have to borrow more. So I said to her, how do you address this hardship that's being created for young people who are doing the right thing? Keep going to school, get a good education, get a good job. She didn't have an answer for me on it there. And it troubles me because I've met these students and their families, and this is dangerous territory they're in with the deep debt they're incurring.
Now, here's another item. I met with a young lady before the election, and she wanted to share with me her story about student loans and how much she had to pay every month. And she says, here's the problem. I was doing okay paying my student loan until the Affordable Care Act. Now I can't pay both.
Well, I can understand it. You know, the health care premiums, she may be in a position where she qualifies for a premium subsidy. The government may help her pay her health care premiums. But you make a good point. Whether it's health insurance or whether it's deciding that you want to buy a car, your own car, or live in your own home, or get married, or have babies, if you are married, I mean, all of these things, I've heard young people say, I'm sorry, Senator, but my student loan debt has compromised me in terms of the job I have, the kind of life I want to lead, whether I'm going to get married, whether I'm going to have a family, whether I can finally move out of my parents' home. Health insurance include that on a list, Tom. I'm not arguing that that isn't a major expense people face, but it's because this debt is too darn much, and these young people at age 18, 19, and 20 are signing up for more debt than they can possibly imagine. The new budget from the president doesn't make it easier. It raises interest rates. It makes it more difficult for these students.
You know, last time you said, look, talk to your listeners about single pay, and I have. And what's more interesting is I've seen recent publications, California leaning towards single payer. Now, a couple of published reports say that the price tag is $400 billion. That would require every single dollar from the budget going to single payer in California. Do you agree with those figures? Is the math the daunting aspect of single payer? The increase to 15% of personal income tax has been proposed as well to help pay for these bills.
Well, let me tell you, single payer, in other words, a government plan like Canada, like England and such, that may be happening some point in the future. Here's what I think is a better midterm alternative. We should be able to create a not-for-profit health insurance plan that looks like Medicare. People trust Medicare. 50 or 60 million Americans count on it for their own health insurance every year. And if we had that option and said, if you've run out of private insurance companies in your area that'll write your health insurance, then we can come up with this plan that looks like Medicare. That, to me, is a sensible middle step. Going single payer, it may not happen in my lifetime, Tom, and may never happen for that matter. But in the meantime, wouldn't we want to give people that choice, that option of a Medicare-type plan, a not-for-profit plan that we know mirrors a system of health insurance that most Americans really trust?
All right. Now, and this is one of the big deals moving forward because, you know, the federal judge, by the way, did not require the state of Illinois to pay all of its back Medicaid bills. I don't know if you saw that story. It's rolling out late yesterday.
I did.
And that was important for the financial well-being of the state of Illinois. But at the same time, people need to be able to continue to get health care when the state hasn't paid the bills. So we've got that aspect.
At St. John's Hospital, Springfield, Illinois, my hometown, state of Illinois owes them $83 million. Can you imagine a local hospital in my hometown, and it's one of the larger downstate cities, but $83 million. And I said to them, so are you borrowing that money from somewhere? Yes, they said, we're borrowing it from every other hospital in our system outside of Illinois.
Right.
And that is outrageous that we have reached this point. You and I have talked about what this budget crisis in the state has done to SIU in Carbondale and to the city of Carbondale and to Southern Illinois. You know, when you look at it, this is a self-imposed recession created by an irresponsible outcome in Springfield. I thought it might come to an end this last month. It is not. I don't know when the end is going to come.
You are looking for an end to the issue of HUD in Caro. Now, you know, I'm reading the press release from yesterday. You say Caro is Exhibit A in mismanagement in Washington and then locally, and it is a disaster. Talking to Senator Carson about finding a solution for those residents.
Well, of course. And here we have fewer than 200 people, and you think, well, we ought to be able to take care of them. Here's the difficulty. If those 200 people, 180, 200 people, decide that the only place they can live is outside of Caro, it is devastating. It could cut the enrollment in their local school in half. It may not be able to survive. So Caro may not be able to survive without good, decent local school for people to go to. So I said to the secretary yesterday, if I'm not blaming you. You're brand new to the job, Mr. Secretary. Somebody at HUD in Washington, and certainly some local officials who are no longer on the scene, at least officially, are responsible for this mess. Now, what are we going to say to the people who are living in this miserable housing owned by the federal government? What are we going to say in terms of where they go next so that they can have a safe, decent place to live? I'm going to keep talking to him. He didn't give me too much of an answer yesterday, but we've opened a conversation.
Yeah, you know, this prospect of a port authority, because here's the thing, Senator, you and I both know that the confluence of two major rivers means commerce in the United States of America, except Caro, everywhere else in the country except Caro.
Exactly. But I will tell you something else. For a port to work, you need an infrastructure, and somebody has to pay for it. If it's the federal government, you and I won't live long enough to see it. If it's the state government, they're flat busted broke with the budget in Springfield. I don't want to make promises to the people in Alexander County and Southern Illinois I can't keep. Am I supportive of looking into this? You bet. Would I work to achieve it? Yes. But practical issues start arising. Who's going to make the investment in this port authority? Who's going to pay for that investment? How are you going to get over the fact that they have some of the most outrageous utility rates in the entire Southern Illinois area, down at the municipally owned utility in Caro? It hits the people living there. It would hit any newcomers who might be faced with trying to come up with a new business in the same area.
I know I'm keeping you a little long, but I want to squeeze this last one in. Hawaii yesterday became the first state to align with the Paris Agreement after its governor signed two bills into law that support the commitment and goals of the Paris Climate Change Accord.
Let me tell you, isn't it a desperate thing when states and cities decide we're going to take climate change seriously, but as a nation, we become one of three nations in the world to step away from this joint effort to try to make sure that our kids and grandkids have a safe planet to live on? I mean, I understand their desperation. They are trying to do something so that we deal with climate change and global warming, but to think that the United States now joins with Syria and Nicaragua is the only three nations in the world that are not party to this accord. So, we are not first. This isn't America first. This is America last when it comes to stewardship of the earth that we live on.
So many times I've seen over the last week that the United States, and I'm asking whether this is true, is paying $1 billion into the fund while other countries are not. True or false?
It's false in this regard. This is a plan that measures over several decades as to who's going to pay what and when. We are front-ending this, but it's an agreement that others are going to be part of it as well. And it is important that as big as we are, as much as we produce, as much pollution as we produce, that we show some leadership with other countries. You know who's going to take over the lead in this? China. And China is going to start producing the solar panels, even more so, wind turbines, and the means in the future for renewable, sustainable energy, clean energy. And the United States has stepped away with this decision by the president.